Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack. Now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means it's time to ask Ross, and we are going to take your questions. And whoever has the best question, you get that fantastic Labatt Blue shirt. You ready to go, Ross?
I am.
All right, let's start with John from Dallas, PA. All omnipotent Ross, numerous times during last week's games, one of the analysts kept saying Michigan State was scheming formation-wise to keep Brandon Smith out of the box and therefore reduce his impact on the game. Smith did not impact the game much, so was the analyst right? And what could Brent Pry have done to counter Michigan State's strategy?
Well, so I think they're really scheming to just try to keep a light box so that they can run the football. I don't think that they went so far as to have a game plan. Look, I think Brandon Smith is a good player, but I don't think they went so far, Jim, as to say, we got to come up with an entire plan to stay away from Brandon Smith. I mean, he's not that kind of player. And really, it's rare that a player is. It just is. I mean, you might have something where you want to make sure you chip or double team a pass rusher, but I don't think you're going to come up with an entire plan just to try to limit the impact of one linebacker. I mean, frankly, if you could do that, I don't think LeVar Arrington and Micah Parsons would have made as many plays as they did for Penn State and other guys as well, for that matter. So go ahead, Jim.
Well, what I was going to ask, Ross, as an analyst, you get access to the coaches ahead of time. And it always seems to me like what we get is the analyst will often regurgitate what a coach may have told them that week. It seems like analysts almost every week point out Brandon Smith, and I always get the feeling it's like the coaches probably singled them out, and then the analyst goes forward with because of that.
There's no question. Yet you have production meetings, and you absolutely, you know, take a lot from what the coaches tell you. And that's a big part of your job. And that access is big to prepare for the game. And it's very possible that Michigan State told those guys, hey, we're going to actually, you know, split out our tight end or go to this formation to try to keep Brandon Smith out of the box. And in terms of what Brent Pry could have done about it, really not much. You know, I mean, you're not going to switch your entire – you're not going to switch guys' positions that they practiced all week because of that. And you're not going to call a different defense than you practiced all week because of that. What you're going to do is you're going to have the other linebackers need to step up and play their role and play it well. And Brandon has to do what's asked of him. I do think it makes sense to try to get him in space a little bit more. He's a very big linebacker. So I can see people wanting to try to get him into coverage more so than having him in the box against the run game.
All right. Next up is Matt, and Matt is from Melbourne, Australia. Hey, guys, great work pushing out the content during the pandemic. Hope you're keeping safe and well over there. What should Penn State do with the quarterback position next year? I love Clifford and Levis for what they give the university, but they aren't talented enough to get us to the playoffs. Do we continue with Clifford and strive for 10-2, or do we favor one of the young guys with the highest ceiling? Will favoring the young guys annoy people on the team?
So I think that they're going to play either Clifford or Levis next year, maybe some combination of both. I don't know that there's going to be a transfer portal quarterback that they're going to get that's going to necessarily be better than those guys, especially – you know, after they've both now had a year in Kirk Shiraka's system, and hopefully, you know, depending on what happens, hopefully a full offseason spring ball would be nice. A real training camp would be nice. And I think Penn State's going to believe that both of these guys will be much better in year two in Kirk Shiraka's system. And they've proven now the last few weeks that they can win with both those guys. And I think that they're going to hope that they have two competing, see who the better man for the job is, and then hopefully be able to have the other guy in case there's an injury or in case the other guy falters. So I don't see them going young unless they're totally blown away by Roberson or Bowens. I think it's going to be Levis and Shiraka, Levis and Clifford, unless one of them feels like they can go somewhere else and kind of be guaranteed the starting job.
Gotcha. All right. Next up is Mike in Atlanta, who says, Penn State moves so slowly between plays. They don't seem to develop a tempo. Should they speed things up or vary the time between plays?
Well, I would disagree with that. I think sometimes they do go tempo. Sometimes they do not. I think tempo can be a very big weapon for offenses that should be used. You know, if you watch like the Rams, for example, they have different tempos. They'll have really fast. They'll have get to the line and then see what the defense is doing and then call a play. They'll have huddle up. I think the best move is to have different tempos and be able to vary those, because that can really throw the defense off when you have different tempos. It's hard for them to catch up to what tempo you're doing and get into a rhythm.
Okay, next up is Kent from Raleigh, North Carolina. Says, hey, Ross, very much appreciate your player insight. I'm struggling with Penn State's strategy. Can you please share your insight as a player? If you were a running back, how would you feel that the quarterbacks ran 24 times versus 14 for the running backs? Is this to keep Levis from transferring because they don't trust Clifford throwing, don't trust the offensive line or the running backs? Thank you. Love the show.
Has nothing to do with Levis transferring. Everything to do with what we talked about in quarter number two, Tucker's tape, which if you missed it live, you can always go back and listen on demand on the Keystone Sports Network app or KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. But the quarterback run game is deadly because you get that extra guy. It essentially creates an extra gap, right, Jim? Because whichever way he runs, you now have the running back that can block for him as well. So you have an extra gap that the defense needs to defend, right? If you think about like a tight end and one running back, there's gaps on either side of the center, either side of the guard, either side of the tackle, and on the outside of the tight end. Well, if there's a running back that's lead blocking, no matter which way he goes, he's really creating an extra gap that the defense has to account for. So I think when teams are struggling to run the football or maybe struggling to move the football, running the quarterback, you can either look at it, Jim, depending on your perspective, as a valuable weapon or a crutch that offenses use when things are not going as well as they'd like, moving the football in general and running the ball in particular.
Is the simple math to this with running the quarterback, Ross, simply if the quarterback hands it off to the running back, the quarterback is not part of the play anymore. It's now 11 players on defense against 10 on offense. Whereas if the quarterback's the running back, he's still part of the play and it's 11 versus 11. It's just a simple math equation.
Exactly correct. Which is why, by the way, you want to run the quarterback enough so that even when you run the running back, the quarterback is still a factor. And I think that's one area Penn State could be a little bit better at, is the quarterbacks kind of carrying out their fakes on some of the read plays. I think you want to always have the threat of the quarterback so that one defender, whether it's the defensive end of that side or perhaps the outside linebacker scraping over the top, you want them to have to be cognizant of it and responsible for the quarterback, because that removes one guy.
And to carry the thought through, if you have Will Levis in the game, not only respect him running, but respect that he might do something else like throw the ball. All right, Ross, how about this one from Mike from Lawrenceville, New Jersey? Ross, love your analysis. Can you explain what movements offensive players can make without getting a false start call? Why can't a quarterback clap, for instance, or a receiver point to the sideline when other little moves draw a flag? The same goes for linemen who stand up and in certain situations but can't even lean back in others.
It's a really good question. And the answer is essentially you can't do anything that simulates the snap of the ball. So any type of twitch forward, certainly when you put your hand in the ground on a three-point stance, you can't move that hand then. But it is interesting because you'll see centers, they'll bend their knees, they'll point left, they'll do this, as long as they keep their hand on the ball and the ball on the ground. So you can move your offhand, you can move your head to say something, to look back at the quarterback. I'm talking mainly linemen right now. You can move your head back to talk to the quarterback, to talk to the lineman next to you. You can point out at the blitzing linebacker. You can't move the hand that's on the ground. You can't move your feet. So your feet and your hand can't move at that point. The three things that are touching the ground, they can't move. And you can't do anything that would be simulating the snap or the start of the play, right? So you can't have any type of twitch, anything forward, anything that could lead the defense to think that the play is starting. But there are sort of some hijinks you could pull, Jim, with kind of I know guys that they've twitched a little bit, and then they've tried to point, or they've tried to like look the other way and act like it wasn't the start. You know, it wasn't simulating the start of the snap. There's a little bit of a gray area there.
Gotcha. So it's really about intent. Let's sneak one more in real quickly. Dave from Lehigh Valley says, in evaluating the offensive line play the past few games, what stood out with you with the seven linemen that now generally play?
Well, I thought it was interesting to see Fries and Miranda, you know, get some of the recognition they got, Jim, with the fact that they rotate, you know, and Scruggs plays a lot, and Thorpe, when he's available, was playing a lot. Though I just thought it was interesting that it was the guards that got more recognition than the center or tackles for Penn State. I'm not sure I quite agree with that. I do agree with Phil Troutwine getting Scruggs in there and trying to build some depth. They actually were healthy all year on the offensive line, which makes the season a little bit more frustrating, to be honest with you.
All right, that is it for quarter number three from the Labatt Blue Studio. In quarter number four, we get Andy and Bob back. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.